tough loss, man. It's do or die now, so we got to win both of the next two games if we want to, if we want our season to continue. As simple as that.
55 points on 24 shots and a game five loss. Who is going to step up and help Damian Lillard? A very busy morning for the Boston Celtics. Age out, Steven still in, kind of. We'll explain all of it. And a 30-point loss, a 3-2 hole to the Phoenix Suns, getting spooky in Lakerland. We'll have Chris Bosch popping by and Sabrina Ionescu. An action-packed hour of the jump starts now.
Welcome to the jump, presented by Dell.
Welcome into The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, Brian Windhorst, Kendrick Perkins. They'll be joining me shortly, but right now I will be with our senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, for the latest on the Boston Celtics. Danny Ainge stepping down as president of basketball operations. Brad Stevens has been promoted to replace him. And here's Danny today on the decision to retire. Take a listen.
I think that when I had a heart attack 2 years ago, like I started thinking about what I was doing with my life and, you know, what are the things that I want to accomplish. And then these last 2 years have been tough, like, you know, in the bubble and all the rules and scrutiny and protocols that we've had to go through, you know, has not made it as much fun. I don't know if there was a moment in time, but it was I trust my instincts. My instincts told me a couple months ago that it was time for me to move on. I don't know what my future holds. I don't have any plans. Right now, my goal is to get Brad up to speed on the draft and try to make this transition and put the Celtics in as good a place as we can be.
So interesting. Well, welcome to The Jump, first of all. But what can you tell us about how all of this came about?
Well, Danny Ainge, Rachel, certainly laid out some of it there. And I think he was feeling the grind of this job, the fact that this team was really no longer as currently constituted, you know, one of the championship favorites. That certainly factors into it. 18 years is a long time running an NBA. He's been in the league for 44 years total. Listen, there was some conversation in recent months about maybe doing one more year, a possible succession plan that maybe would have included somebody outside the organization. But I think when Brad Stevens had interest in moving up, leaving coaching and taking on Ainge's role and just being president of basketball operations, and that was something ownership was behind. They obviously know Brad Stevens very well. They spent 8 years with him. They saw him make the transition. College coaching to the NBA, to NBA coaching, which is a dramatic adjustment. And this is going to be another dramatic adjustment. You've seen Lawrence Frank in LA coaching to the front office with like a year in the front office in between, or a year as an assistant general manager to running a team. And so I think for this Celtic organization, they did value having some continuity. And I think especially once Brad Stevens was ready to walk away from coaching.
Yeah, it's interesting. You hear news like this, you start thinking about the last conversation you had with the person. I saw Danny on the court just this past Friday. We had a long chat. He was super comfortable, relaxed, which is not necessarily what I would have expected for a guy who was already down in a playoff series, but he seemed very at peace, and now I have a feeling about why. And he also was very certain to tell me that he had confidence in the future of the organization. He's like, we've got two all-stars who are under the age of 25, and he said that Brad Stevens should be with this organization as long as he wants, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't know when he told me that he meant in this new role, but I guess he already knew back then. Now, Brad Stevens obviously in position now to pick his successor for Celtics head coach. Any insight on where he is leaning with that?
Well, I think it's too soon, Rachel, to really know exactly a small pool of candidates for this. I think Brad Stevens has to really think and take time to think about how he wants his team to play, the personnel changes they might make, who's a fit, who he can work with, and really get out and understand the landscape and who's available to him. Because the coaches who might be available right now, who may not be available right now, could be by the end of the playoffs. We have seen plenty of times where coaches who lose in the postseason either are fired or decide to walk away. You know, we are still in the first round of the playoffs. So it's possible that pool of candidates could become even bigger. But I certainly think, you know, for Brad Stevens, he's going to be going through a learning curve as general manager or as president of basketball operations. How much of a learning curve do you want to have a coach who hasn't been in the NBA before or who hasn't been a head coach in the NBA? I would have a hard time imagining him going back to college for the Celtics next coach. But this is a coveted job. They have very good talent here. It is still the Boston Celtics. And I think this is going to be a job where there's going to be a lot of interest in it. And I think Brad Stevens and the Celtics have time now to really go out, get to know some people, spend time with people. They don't have to make a quick decision here.
Well, they have the opportunity to do more than just the same old candidates. And I know there's a lot of Celtics fans and people around the NBA who hope that they really do that kind of search. Now, lastly, Woj, because apparently all institution-changing news must break in the same couple hours, we also found out today Coach K will step down at Duke after next season. Why was this the right time for him?
Well, he's going to turn 75 next year. Certainly, you've seen a changing of the guard in college basketball. Roy Williams just retired. And, you know, I think certainly for Mike Krzyzewski, you got to decide how much longer you want to do this. And I'm told that John Shire, his associate head coach, will be the coach in waiting. They did very quietly here in the last few weeks a coaching search with their new athletic director, Mike Krzyzewski. And they talked to coaches like Tommy Amaker, and I think some coaches who had some Duke ties, but John Shire was there as a player, certainly. He's been there, helped recruit, led the recruiting on Jason Tatum, Zion Williamson, and now he has a year to recruit for his program as Mike Krzyzewski finishes up and kind of has a farewell tour in this last season.
Well, I'm very happy they didn't try to go after Chris Collins because we're keeping him at Northwestern. Thanks so much for joining us, Woj. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rach.
All right, so as we dig in here a little bit more on the Celtics and Brad Stevens taking over for Ainge as president of basketball operations, Stevens spoke earlier today about his new role. Take a listen to this.
The thought of going into this position, you know, was never even a thought. Because Danny was here and he was the best at it and he's the best to work for. I really have enjoyed coaching. I loved coaching and I've loved coaching the players both at Butler and here. But this is the new challenge and this is what we need to do to hopefully be even better. And, you know, again, I think a big part of that is hopefully I can use my experience as a coach to help not only find a coach, but be a good, supportive, empowering person like Danny has been to me of a coach.
All right. I'm now joined by our insider, Brian Windhorst, and former champ with the Boston Celtics, Kendrick Perkins. So let's start with you, Perk. What was your reaction to all of this news as it was breaking today?
Well, it wasn't surprising to me about Danny Ainge. I talked to Danny Ainge. We have a very close relationship. And I talked to him at least two times a week. And it's not about basketball. Every time he calls me, he keeps me on the phone for an hour and a half, 2 hours, talking about life, talking about his grandchildren, talking about his children, how he loved being around his family. And over the last 2 years, as we started having those conversations more frequently, I started realizing, I said, Danny is going to retire soon or he's going to walk away. You could just tell he was leaning in that direction. Now, as far as Brad Stevens, for us taking over the front office job and taking over Danny Rowe, that was surprising to me. I wasn't surprised that he stepped down as a head coach because I could, you know, as covering the Boston games late at night working for the Boston Network, you started to see that it just wasn't a connection there with him and his stars. The camaraderie wasn't there. And I pointed that out a few times. So Brad moving up to the front office job, I think is great for the organization. Him finding another coach, which I think it should be Sam Cassell, just my humble opinion, a guy that won a championship there with the Celtics. You know, I like that move. So now it's just in Brad's hand, but he have to be very, very careful, Rachel, on who he chooses as the coach, because we all know that Boston fan base is real harsh on the decision-making for us bringing someone in to lead the charge.
I'm going to be a little coarse here because I just want to get straight to the point, because I know that Danny had a great career. The last 4 years, the Celtics have underperformed out of their front office. Out of everything that they've done to set themselves up.
Be a little careful. They've been in the Eastern Conference Finals three of the last four years prior to this year.
That's what I'm saying. I don't. You're right. I'm going to be a little coarse, but they fell behind. They've fallen. They had a great opportunity to build a juggernaut with this team, and they just didn't do it. And they've fallen behind the at least three teams in the East, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. And would you look at them going forward, all of these draft picks that they could have traded for stars, they didn't. And so I don't know if today is not the day to have an introspection about that. The other thing I would say is that Brad Stevens, I'd like to know the answer to the question. Why is Brad Stevens better for the Boston Celtics as the team president than the head coach? And that question was asked in this press conference several times to ownership, to Brad, and there wasn't a good answer that was given. Maybe there's a truth that they don't want to say. This was a terrible season for the Celtics, very much of a disappointment. Not all of it their fault. They paid a tax because they went deep into the bubble last year and then had to come back. All of those teams, we're looking at the Lakers struggling, the Heat are gone, the Nuggets are scrapping to get out of the first round. I understand that. But it's been the Celtics have underachieved a little bit. The good news is they do have two young stars on their roster, and so whoever gets this coaching job is going to have a great opportunity. And the person I would say to keep an eye out for is Chauncey Billups. Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN.com just came out with his annual list, which is read so closely across the NBA, of the next great coaches. He's predicted some of the great young coaches have come through. Number one person on his list that came out today, Chauncey Billups, former Celtic. Keep an eye on that one.
I love the idea of Chauncey. I love the idea of Sam Cassell. I hope that they both get serious consideration. It is interesting. You talk about the pressure of having that Boston Celtics job. Just the way you're talking about it right now, Brian, and you're not wrong at all that this was not a good season in terms of what the Boston Celtics expectations are, because they were scrapping just in the play-in to get into the playoffs. But again, when you look at a team that made the Eastern Conference Finals three of the previous 4 years, the Clippers have never made a Western Conference Finals in their history.
And Rachel.
And by the way, to Danny's point that I relayed in our conversation from the other day, they've got two All-Stars under the age of 25. They were still in the playoffs this year. And yet, you are 100% correct. A huge disappointment in Boston to have that kind of season, and with the assets that Danny had set up for himself over those past couple years, it begs the question, Perk, what do you think the expectation is going to be with this team in an Eastern Conference where, it's funny, I saw on the internet all morning, oh, the Brooklyn Nets broke the Boston Celtics. I don't think they broke the Boston Celtics in this series. Everybody on that team, if you gave them true serum, would tell you that the Nets were going to win that series even going into it. But the fact that the Brooklyn Nets will probably be one of the dominant powerhouses in that conference for the next few years, it puts the Celtics in a tough position and under a lot of pressure, right, Perk?
Absolutely. And this is, right, playing in the city of Boston, they have high expectations, right, the city of champions. And they just want to see the development of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown continue to rise and be the future superstars that we think that they can become. But also they want to make sure that they surround them with the necessary pieces that fit so that they could take it another level or take a leap above those teams that got better in the offseason, like the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. And like, for starters, you got to evaluate Kemba Walker if I'm Brad Stevens. You know, he's been injured for about 2 years. That knee situation is nothing to play with. You know, you got to evaluate the whole roster except for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Evan Fournier. So Brad definitely has his hands full. And look, the Celtic fans may grant him a grace period, but it won't be too long. It won't be for a long period of time before they start wanting the title and want to compete for a championship.
Absolutely. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Things move fast in the NBA. You never know what's going to happen. Just in the next hour, we will discuss a little more on Coach K's retirement in just 2 minutes. And also coming up, 55 points from Dame Lillard. Still not enough to come up with a win in Game 5. The Nuggets, just so resilient. Who needs to step up next for the Blazers? Because, you know, Dame needs some help, people. That's next. All right. As we noted earlier in the show, Coach K planning to retire from Duke at the end of this upcoming season, his 42nd year at the university. He is the winningest coach in Division I history on the men's side with nearly 1,200 wins, 5 national titles, 12 Final Four appearances. John Shire expected to replace him. Duke had 41 first-round picks in the NBA under Coach K's watch. That is an insane number and the most by any coach in history, including, of course, Hall of Famer Grant Hill. Perk, is there any way to even sum up his career at Duke?
Yeah, the greatest coach of all time in college, in my opinion. When you look at his impact on the players, all the players that grew up under Coach K, they still have a special relationship with him to this day. So that goes to show you, not only was he a great coach, but he was also a great individual. He's also a great individual.
You know what? It's a tough time for college coaches right now, though, guys, because all these professional leagues, there's multiple leagues coming to steal players. There's national, you know, name and likeness sort of stuff. It's rough. Roy Williams pulled the shoot, and I don't blame Krzyzewski for saying, I'm going to take my rings and head to Florida.
Knows when to make an exit, but I will say the impact he had on all those kids' lives that went through the program, just tremendous. Even more important than those 41 names, although those 41 names are very impressive. Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell. The game of the playoffs thus far was in Denver last night as we take a look at this magic moment brought to you by Walt Disney World. Dame time going into overtime, scoring 55 points on a playoff record 12 threes, including game-tying shots late in both regulation and the first overtime. However, the Blazers couldn't stay with Denver in the second overtime and lost a pivotal Game 5 to fall behind 3-2 in the series. Dame's supporting cast just not providing a lot of support in the overtime periods. Look at this shot chart. This is everyone except for Damian Lillard finishing 1 for 14 from the field. Dame scoring 17 of the Blazers' 19 points in the extra session. So, Perk, Game 6 tomorrow in Portland. We'll go with the team facing elimination. Who needs to step up the most on that Blazers franchise? Otherwise, the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic moving on to the second round.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's the bench, Rachel. Someone off the bench has to match the bench of the Denver Nuggets. Monte Morris had 28. He outscored the Portland Trail Blazers bench by himself. So whether it's Melo or Cantor or whomever is coming in off the bench, they have to come in and give them a spark in some type of way. And I'm not saying they have to go out and get 28 points, but you got to have two guys that can at least accumulate for 30 to 35 points off the bench to cancel out what Jermichael Green and everybody else is coming in for that Denver Nuggets team off the bench and the Morris kid and bringing that spark.
I'm going to be Debbie Downer again, Rachel. as you know me very well, I am accused of this often.
You are.
As I'm watching that press conference that Dame gave, which we showed at the top of the show, he's so melancholy. He just had one of the most breathtaking performances you will ever see. You have players on the court. Jokic said that it was a pleasure to be on the court. Kevin Durant said this was a spiritual experience. Dame finally misses, and Austin Rivers is looking to the heavens saying thank you. He plays 50 minutes in this game. We just saw all those stats. He had one turnover. This is as close to a perfect performance as I almost have ever seen. He is completely down in the postgame. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of LeBron. I hate to say this. It reminds me of LeBron at the end of his tenure in Cleveland, where he has poured himself out. And by the way, LeBron never had a playoff game like that. Even the greatest games that he had, maybe a little bit in his last conference finals in Cleveland with against the Magic, but even LeBron never played like that and lost. And I know he's super duper invested, but he's in his 30s.
You're talking about Dame?
Yes. Yeah. We've seen this happen before. Like, what is he supposed to feel coming off a game like this? And I'm not even talking about this series. Like, let's say they come back and win this series. It doesn't change the reality of what this team is. I just don't know what this is going to portend. And it hit me like a ton of bricks watching that press conference after the game last night.
What about for you, Perk?
No, I agree with Brian, because look, Rachel, at the end of the day, we all respect Dame and his famous quote, guys running from the grind. Dame, look, you have done enough for that organization. At the end of the day, the only thing left for Dame to do is two things, right? Win him MVP and win the championship. But like Brian said, he's getting older. So at the end of the day, and I was saying this, if the Portland Trail Blazers don't make it to the championship this year, that duo between him and C.J. McCollum, they're going to have to decide upon that, decide what direction they're going to go in, because it's been 8 years now. Like, at the end of the day, I want Dame, and people were saying it, Dame deserves better, and he does. Like, go somewhere where you can win. No one will look down on you because we watched you carry this franchise on your shoulders and on your back. So no one would be disappointed if Dame happened to go to the Lakers.
Well, look. See, I'm just going to let that float by. That's what experience in hosting is. I'm just going to let that float. I will say this, though, that in this series, and let's bring it back to what's going to happen in this game tomorrow night, if the rest of the Portland Trailblazers need some inspiration on how to step up, look across the court at the Denver Nuggets, because here you have a team that lost its second-best player in Jamal Murray, that took a guy in Austin Rivers, who nobody wanted just a month and a half ago, who took Monty Morris, and they have found a way to step up and elevate and be that support that Nikola Jokic needs. I was so impressed on all sides. I thought what made that game so good last night was, of course, Dame was incendiary. But the way the Nuggets hung in, even after they kept losing leads, and the guys who were not big-name players stepped up and got it done, that's what the Portland Trailblazers fans would like to see from their group. We'll have to see if that can happen tomorrow night. Let's switch over to the Lakers-Suns series. No Anthony Davis last night. And also, no answer for the Phoenix Suns. A Game 5 rout. L.A. scoring only 85 points. They're shooting below 35%. Low marks of the L.A. LeBron era. James did not sugarcoat his team's performance post-game. Take a listen.
We got our ass kicked. I mean, it's just that simple. They did got to whatever they wanted to get to in this game. And, you know, we got to be better, obviously, if we want to force a game 7. You know, I look forward to the, you know, to the environment. Obviously, our Laker faithful are going to give us a lot of energy. I look forward to the moment. I look forward to the challenge and see what brings out the best in me and my teammates.
All right, Perk, the defending champion, Los Angeles Lakers, now one game from an early playoff exit. LeBron never lost in the first round in his career. What is your faith in the Lakers' chance to rebound with AD status still up in the air for game 6?
Well, you know what? I got the ultimate faith in LeBron James because I believe Anthony Davis is going to play in game 6. I believe the role players are going to play better at home. Right, Rachel? And Brian, this is the problem, right? The role players did not perform last night. The Phoenix Suns role players, their youth core outplayed this veteran core. And I saw it from the start of the game when they ran the first play for KCP and he passed up a wide open 3-point shot. And in my mind right then I said, it's about to be hell in the cell. And it was. The Phoenix Suns took off because, look, they're not shooting the ball with confidence right now. They scored 10 points in the second quarter. 10 points? I don't care how stellar your defense is. You cannot score 10 points in a playoff game in the second quarter and when you're missing one of your best players and expect to win the game. One of these role players or two of these role players have to step up like a Rajon Rondo and Dwight Howard did for them last year throughout the course of the postseason.
Rachel, here's what I saw. I saw LeBron come out with the heat eyes in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this. And he played that way for a few minutes. And then he saw how his team was playing. And maybe his strength in his ankle isn't there. And maybe because Andre Drummond and his team wasn't hitting shots and the Suns were packing the paint, maybe he's really fatigued from this crazy last year, maybe 100 different things. He figured by the end of this first quarter, it wasn't happening. And, you know, I could just see him. I could see him say this wasn't happening tonight. And, I mean, it was clear when he walked off the court at the end of the game. He's like, okay, we're going to try this again. So the question is, tomorrow, here in L.A., in front of the crowd, when he goes back to the eyes, is there going to be enough help to do it? Is he going to be physically able to do it? Is he going to be able to lift his team? So far to this point, the answer has been no. I'm not putting it past him because of who he is. But he went to the gas last night and it wasn't there. And there's a dozen different reasons. And I just don't know how many of them are solvable, even if they somehow get through game 6 and 7 the rest of the way here.
Well, I will say the same thing I just said about the Nuggets-Blazers game. If the Lakers need to see what it means for other people to step up in the absence of one of their big stars, look across the court at the Phoenix Suns. Yes, Anthony Davis was missing last night. Guess what? Chris Paul missed part of that game last night. Chris Paul could barely move his arm in games 2 and 3 of this series. And yet you have seen the other Phoenix Suns players play their hearts out, even in the games that they lost. And that is what Lakers fans want to see from their club, especially because there is a little bit more of a ticking time element with LeBron and this Lakers team. people age, and I know LeBron James has been almost inhuman in the way he has been able to keep up over the past couple years, long past when other guys have seen their bodies and their game break down. But he is a human being, and we have already seen him being more injury prone these last couple seasons. When other things happen, like Anthony Davis gets hurt or there's COVID and a bubble, other things come into play, and there's just not that many years left for a peak level LeBron James and the LA Lakers to win more titles. So every chance, every playoff game that goes by, the opportunity and the stakes feel so much bigger, and this game tomorrow is going to be just enormous for the franchise. All right, guys, it's an enormous day in the NBA, so we have even more coming up on this show. The Nets-Bucks second-round series officially kicking off this weekend. We will preview that as Chris Bosh joins The Jump. Here's what The Jump recommends for today. Oh, yes, Chris Bosh's new book, Letters to a Young Athlete, is available now. Chris reflects on all the lessons he learned during his Hall of Fame career from the all-time greats that he competed with and against. And to discuss it further with Brian and I is the one and only about-to-be minted Hall of Famer, Chris Bosh. So thrilled to have you back. And for such a good reason, Chris, we've been talking about this book for months now. What inspired you to write it?
There were so many inspirations. Basketball, of course, as you guys know, I had to retire quite early and it happened very quick. And, you know, I found myself in a space where I needed to find the next thing. And although it was tough getting through that experience, what came out on the other end was me appreciating the game of basketball. And when I said the game of basketball, when I tell people the game of basketball, I mean the whole thing. I mean every AAU trip. it started in St. Phillip's Little League Biddy Basketball in South Dallas for 10 and under kids. And you know, just the countless coaches and teachers and parents that really helped me get to this point. I just reflected on all of it. I'm appreciative of all of it. And it's just amazing for me because basketball is all I ever wanted to do. And it was my dream and I put everything into it. So now I just wanted to leave something as a memento for the game. And, you know, I reverse engineered my basketball career and, you know, recounting those lessons and those stories that I feel were most crucial in my success.
So, Chris, I've written a couple of books, and I know that you're a perfectionist when it comes to the process of this stuff. Like, you've done documentaries, and Rachel, I'm still trying to get him to do something with the footage he's got from the 2010 free agent process. But he says, I've got to make it just right. So, knowing how you go about your process, you know, what was this like putting something like this together that I know that you're careful with putting your name on?
I've read the book 13 times.
Woo.
And you know, the 13th time was actually reading the audiobook. It was funny. People were asking me, are you going to read the audiobook? I said, of course, you know, I have to. Just the editing process. I knew between editing and writing and doing all these creative things and trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together, that along with my team, it was, you know, huge, huge challenges, but you have to love the process, and I really did. I enjoyed the process, reading the book over and over again and making sure that my voice is correct and I'm saying the right things and I'm going over what I'm about to say, because it was a little scary. You know, you put these words out, they're out there forever in the universe. And so I wanted to be very careful with what I'm putting out there, but at the same time, drive the necessary points home and make it that universal message to where anyone could understand.
So Pat Riley wrote the foreword to this book. Now, Pat Riley has recruited you in your career, but here you had to recruit a guy who, before the pandemic, got tens of thousands of dollars to speak, much less write something. What was the horse trading to get Pat Riley to write this foreword?
Man, I just came to Pat. He's been an excellent friend, mentor. He's always been just a great sounding board and just a phenomenal person. And just to go through what we went through together throughout the championship years and then more challenges when I wasn't playing anymore. That was the toughest time. coming out on the other side and just being able to have a friend and talk about life and talk about these things, it was great. And then, yeah, I asked him to do it. You never know, you never know, because he takes things so seriously. But he's, you know, we were the same in that instance. He went above and beyond what I thought he would do. I mean, it was touching what he wrote in the foreword. And I mean, it was like one of those things where we kept calling, like, "Hey, Pat, you got it."
Right.
Yeah, I'm working on it. But then, you know, he comes through in the last moment.
I think it speaks to the class of both of you, Chris. I know that when your career ended, there were some difficult questions about your health. You and the organization weren't always on the same page, but you and Pat treated each other with such respect throughout that process. And to this day, again, says who you are to the public. I want to get you on one of the biggest series of the playoffs before we let you leave. Bucks Nets is going to be a crazy second rounder. What are your expectations for how that series is going to go?
It's so fascinating. I watching the Bucks all year, I felt all year that they're in that weird position where nobody believes you can do it. You have to have that strong work ethic with the team because people are going to throw the dirt on you while you're down. But they got better, and they seem to be peaking right now. With Brooklyn, we're watching this experiment play out in real time. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the big three have only played 13 games together.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the things I was upset about in the season. I want to see the big three play, and every time I watch, they weren't playing. So, you know, I think for them, their challenges is going to be how they're going to run their continuity on defense and on offense and play together. And, you know, more importantly, how are they going to handle the crunch time when things get tough? Because it's more than just, you know, passing it to the best scorer. You have to have, you know, continuity, like I was saying before, as a team. You have to know these things that you're going to do, and you have to know your late game packages. So, you know, with that said, they still have, you know, James Harden and KD and Kyrie. So, you know, that's a pretty good experiment to have.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. To everyone watching, you can get Letters to a Young Athlete wherever you get your books. I have read it already. I had an advanced copy. I highly recommend it if you have a kid interested in basketball, or if you yourself want to know a little bit more about what it takes to become a champion in any aspect of your life. This man certainly is one in many, many areas. Chris, thank you so much. We'll see you very soon to talk more playoffs over the coming weeks.
Absolutely.
And coming up, another amazing guest, New York Liberty guard Sabrina Ionescu, joining us to discuss her latest business venture, the keys to turning around her Liberty squad this season, and the excitement about New York basketball right now. That is next right here on The Jump. I am so saddened to relay that the Charlotte Observer's Rick Bunnell, a mainstay of the NBA for the past three decades, was found dead in his home yesterday. Bunnell covered the Hornets since their inaugural season in 1988, telling the stories, hopes, dreams, and heartache of everyone who passed through there, from Muggsy Bogues all the way through LaMelo Ball. Rick was the guy who could text Michael Jordan and get an answer back in minutes. As Rick's friend Scott Fowler wrote in the Observer today, quote, "Rick was a generous colleague, father, foodie, beach lover, Twitter aficionado, proud Syracuse graduate, and a guy who achieved his lifelong dream by covering an NBA team so long and so well," according to his son. Scott continued by saying, "To sit next to Bunnell at a Hornets game, as I did hundreds of times over the years," he wrote, "was like sitting next to a hilarious version of a Hornets Wikipedia page." Rick was 63 years old. Everyone here at The Jump sends our condolences to his family and to everyone in the NBA family, because we will all miss him dearly. We'll be right back. We now welcome in New York Liberty star, former Naismith Player of the Year, Sabrina Ionescu, to the show. Thanks so much for being back with us, Sabrina.
Thank you for having me.
Super well, I know you excited. Got some breaking news. I'm going to let you just break it yourself. Please tell us about your new business venture.
Yes, with Boardroom now. And I just love the world that basketball has provided for me on and off the court, from culture, brands, investment opportunity, and the Boardroom encompass all of those things. And so obviously having KD and Rich here in New York is awesome. And so being able to create content with them, and I feel like I can really bring my brand relationships to life in a unique way and bring fans and obviously a lot of young girls and boys behind the scenes of my partnerships through all of Boardroom's network.
I really want to ask about the State Farm commercial with Chris Paul, but I'm going to ask. I'll keep that for later. Ask about basketball. I think all of us grimaced in the wobble last year when we saw you sprain your ankle so badly. You've come back so strong. So I just wanted to ask you, coming back and being the youngest player in the WNBA to have a triple-double, how were you able to overcome that injury and start so strong in your rookie year now?
Yeah, it was definitely difficult. I don't think I ever envisioned my year ending like that last year. But I think I was just hungry, you know, to prove everyone wrong and everyone right that does believe in me. And so I'm just excited and blessed to be able to play the game again, to have such a great support system around me that helped me get back on the court. But I just have so much, you know, more work to do and so much more to accomplish on and off the court. And so I'm just excited to be playing the game that I love so much.
Well, look, the team struggled without you. 2-20 in the wobble. This year, though, you guys have already made a great turnaround, 5-2. Where do you see the most growth among your team?
Yeah, we've definitely made a huge jump. I think just having a lot of, you know, new players coming in that are veteran players and kind of leading us players that were there last year through the ups and downs, it's been really nice. You know, Benaja Laney, Sammy Whitcomb, Tosh Howard, a lot of these players have kind of off games. And so I think sky's the limit. You know, we haven't really even scratched the surface of what we can do and what we can accomplish, but I'm just excited to continue to play the game and continue to get wins for this organization.
Sabrina, huge fan. Congratulations on all your accomplishments. I want to ask you, right? The Liberty right now is balling. The Nets are balling. The New York Knicks are balling. I got to hear Stephen A. Smith talk about New York stand up every single day, right? So I just wanted to ask you, how does it feel? What the environment like for us, New York City basketball being back to life?
It's amazing. You know, that was something that I had been asked, being drafted by the Liberty and them not having a great season. And obviously we know everyone's talking about the Nets and Knicks, but I think it's a testament to everyone that believed in us and what we can accomplish that we're right up there with those teams. And just seeing the buzz that we have with people in our arenas, you know, finally being able to cheer us on is amazing. And there's so much work for us to do and continue to get better as an organization, but we're in good company with those teams.
I love it. I love seeing you guys all together. I love the partnership of you and Kevin Durant, and you are absolutely right, Sabrina, about the impact you're going to have on young girls and boys who look up to you as a role model. They could not have made a better choice. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you as your season progresses.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys, coming up, we've also got Joel Embiid to talk about. That knee injury is going to keep him out of Game 5 and might impact the Eastern Conference playoffs moving forward. We'll discuss. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Sixers announcing Joel Embiid not only out for Game 5, but that an MRI revealed a small meniscus tear in his right knee. Philly describing the injury as day-to-day, though, Brian. Can the Sixers win tonight without Embiid, and what have you heard about him long-term?
They can win tonight. They're home and have the advantage, but this is arguably, out of everything that's happened today, this is arguably the biggest thing about the basketball in the short-term future. I don't know if what a small meniscus tear is. I don't know if you can play through that. He's obviously doing that. He got multiple opinions to be cleared to do this. This, to me, is going to be the dominating storyline left in the Eastern Conference playoffs, because Embiid at his top of his game, the Sixers are championship contenders. If he's less than, I think they take a big step back.
All right, time for, look, it is going to be interesting to see what happens there, but I want to get to our jump ball perk because I love your predictions. So first up, Hawks or Knicks? Here is how RJ Barrett, by the way, responded to what would happen if the Knicks lost tonight.
Why you gotta be so negative? I didn't think about that. We win in the night. I'm not thinking about that. Come on, bro.
Steve Popper?
Stupid ass question.
Point out that was none of us who asked that question, and whoever did is a brave soul. Perk, RJ says the Knicks are winning tonight. You heard Clint Capella yesterday and what he had to say. Who you got, Hawks or Knicks?
Rachel, you know I'm rolling with the Hawks, but let me say this real quick. I love this series, this matchup right here. This is one of my favorite series. This is my favorite series. It's physical. Guys are talking noise. There's no jersey swapping going on. I love everything about it. But I got the Hawks. They have too much firepower offensively between Trae Young, Bogdanovich, Gallinari, Lou Will. They anchored, their defense is anchored by Clint Capella. He's been here before, meaning playing in multiple Western Conference Finals against that high-power Golden State Warriors team. So I got the Atlanta Hawks beat the Knicks. And I know the Knicks are upset. You can tell in their interviews, but I got the Hawks.
I want to see the Knicks play well. I don't know who's going to win, but I want to see the Knicks play well and at least make a good acquitting themselves for their home crowd.
It's going to be, man, that rivalry has gotten spicy quick. Last up, Kendrick, who you got tonight, Mavericks or Clippers?
Oh, I got the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard has quietly been the best player in this series. All the focus and attention has been on Luka, but Kawhi has been dominating, and they don't have not one single person that could stop him. He's back to the Kawhi Leonard of old. I have the Clippers winning tonight at home in good fashion.
Well, the Mavs are staying in my hotel, Rachel. I've talked to a bunch of them. They know this is the biggest game of their season. They know that if they lose this, it's going to be really hard to take them two in a row. They're going to lay it on the line. Hey, they're 2-0 here in L.A. in this series.
Well, you said it yesterday. You said, we don't know what Clippers team we're going to get.
I know
that there's a lot of Clippers fans who feel that way, but it's going to be really good to try to watch and find out tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen in the NBA by then?